Welcome to episode 26 of Cracking the Spine. I'm leading us in, and my name is Josh.
I'm Sean. I'm following Josh.
And I'm Zane. I'm last.
And if it sounds different this week, because we're not in the bookstore.
We're in a spooky house.
We're in my house.
We're in the center of the Earth's sun. Or at least it's just that hot.
Oh, it's not that
it's hot,
hot
in here.
Zane is living in a place in July where the weather has been 90 degrees and she has no air conditioning.
That's true. I live in an old house and air conditioning gives me migraines.
That's true. It does for me too. Also, my house is the thermostat's buried, so who knows what temperature it is.
You know what else gives you guys migraines? Not air conditioning.
You know what gives me migraines?
That's true.
Your freaking oppression of me.
Am I oppressing you?
Yes.
You wait, you say oppression or impression?
Oppression.
Hey, I'm Josh. You getting a migraine now?
Oh, you said oppression. It was an O. Okay.
That was pretty good.
All right. Thanks. Thank you.
Good
right.
Work.
Actually, I was editing last week's show, which people will have heard by now, and we did the riff where we did, like, each other's impressions.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, I don't really have a way of speaking. And then you, like, did it.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. Yeah, he got me, but good. So I got to toss that back out there. It was good. I did not edit it out of the show.
Are you lying?
Well, listen to the show. Maybe for once you'll know.
You just entrapped yourself.
Yeah. No, it's there. You'll see.
It's confusing to me today because today is Wednesday.
Right?
Yeah, it's been weird.
And I don't know. I don't usually. I usually have another day.
Oh!
That's the timer.
I
okay.
Meant to
and
stop
this house.
The clock and I
and
forgot.
This house has a clock that goes ding dong.
Sorry.
This is literally a spooky house.
We are recording in a haunted house. with a cat who is literally
going
crazy as we speak.
The furniture.
So if you hear
sorry,
weird
Luna.
Thumps and sounds as we're recording,
any
it's
chirps or meows,
either ghosts or clocks or a cat or Josh trying to do an impression of me.
That's what it sounds like. It's just a bunch of clicks and whistles.
So Sean, what are you reading this week?
I am reading. Speaking of weird sounds and noises. I finally finished The Name of the Wind.
The Name of the Wind.
By Patrick Rothfuss,
mm-hmm.
Which was amazing.
You said it took a while to get going.
It took a while. I don't know if it took a while to get going. It took a while for me to get into
okay,
it.
Okay, all right.
I think it paces itself the same way all the way through.
Okay.
It's very deliberately plotted. I'm a little bit more used to reading fantasy that is sort of, I don't want to say, like, pedal to the metal, but this is very, like, it's a very calm kind of book. Mm. And it took me a while to, like, find the rhythm of the story. And when I did, I really got into it, and I love it. It's on my staff picks now.
Yeah.
So I set that aside, and now I'm reading a book called Horror Store. Which,
oh, you told us about this, I think.
Yeah, it's about a The book looks like an IKEA catalog. Like, it is literally laid out, like, the front and back cover have, like, pieces of furniture with Swedish names and prices.
Bergelston.
And the copyright page looks like an IKEA order form.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm only about 25 pages into it. It seems to be about a haunted furniture store.
Yeah.
Like an old one or a haunted IKEA?
It's not, it's neither. It very deliberately, it exists in a world where IKEA also exists. It's an
right.
American ripoff of IKEA. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I don't know, I haven't gotten to, like, the meat of what the ghosts are, or if there actually are ghosts, but, like, bad things are happening, kind
I'll
of.
I'll read it when you're done.
Okay, cool.
I think we all know that there are ghosts, because we're in the spookiest house ever.
Fair enough, yeah.
This house is creepy thing.
It is not creepy at all.
Maybe we should have picked as our topic this week a Ouija board reading.
Dude.
I've lived in haunted houses, and this is not a haunted house.
Zane's lived at the 13th floor.
That's exactly what a possessed Zane would want you to believe. Zane, what are you reading this week?
I am reading until
wait, hold on, I'm sorry. You're reading something?
Oh,
uh-oh, you
enough.
Can save that for me.
Enough. I am not the new Josh.
I'm still the new Josh.
I am reading Until We Meet Again by Renee Collins.
That's
I just started it.
That's a good song.
And it's like a, you gave it to me. What are you making that face for?
I'm listening to him. I'm actually trying to tune Josh's interruptions out. I'm patently ignoring his... Anyway, go ahead. What is it? Yeah.
It's like a young adult.
YA.
Yeah, and it's maybe like 2 YA for me.
Wait, what? Yeah.
For you?
For him, right?
This is a good show to be talking about. This is
a good segue.
It's just a little bit too much. Like, all the dialogue's like, come on, dude. Come on, let's get, look, come on, hurry up. You know, and it's like,
I'm going to go smoke a shitting cigarette.
God shit ass Dan Hell. I'm a teenager.
Now let's make out, Delia.
No, I'm not very far into it, but that's so far, that's how it is.
Is anybody named Delia?
Delia. No.
Okay.
Not yet.
All right.
You know what the most made up name in a book I've ever read is? Zane.
What are you reading,
it
Josh?
It wasn't a book. It was just me writing in my journal about when we used to work together.
Dream journal.
Used to.
What are you reading, Josh?
I'm going to flip the script on you this week. I'm not reading anything, but I did write stuff. That counts. I'm writing stuff. Can't talk about it. There you go.
All right. Josh is writing secret documents for the Pentagon.
Is it for, like, can you say anything? Like, is it for another one of your projects? Is it just for yourself?
Not for me. It's for money.
Okay, cool. All right. Then I won't dig.
So that's what I did.
Well, congratulations.
Is the writing going well?
Yeah, it's good.
Is it funny?
I think so.
Is it scary?
Is it about two Zanes kissing?
That's what it is.
Ah.
The scariest story of all. Two Zanes.
Well, I'm glad you came to an all-audio podcast to talk about something that you can't talk about.
I'm ready to go. Let's do this. Professional.
Honk. Sean Claxon. We probably should have said it earlier. The reason that we're not recording in the bookshop this week
bookstore.
Is Josh has a previous engagement on our regular recording night. Josh is going to go to a land of Canada land.
I'm not going.
Josh is not going to Canada land. But I have something that I'm going to brag about tomorrow night.
Yes.
We always record on Thursday night.
Yeah.
And we're recording on a Wednesday night because, listeners, I'm having a birthday on Tuesday. If you're listening to this on Thursday, my birthday will be on Tuesday.
So you missed it.
July 28th. No, you're not. Oh, wait, you did.
I always forget.
But it's okay. It's not too late. You can always wish me a happy birthday. July 28th. So it kind of fits into what we do here on the show. My wife and I are going tomorrow night to see The Lord of the Rings, the first Fellowship of the Ring,
right?
With the live accompaniment of the Philadelphia Orchestra.
So you're watching the entire movie.
I don't know. Actually, because I took my father once to this same venue to see the documentary Planet Earth.
Yeah.
With live orchestral accompaniment.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And they, like, picked and choosed.
Right.
Or chose.
Yeah.
Which, where are
scenes, like, that, like, really highlighted the music.
Okay.
I saw a Star Wars one time.
Did they play the whole movie?
No.
Yeah, my hope is they will. My expectation is they will not.
Yeah.
So,
well, that might be good, because, I mean, if it was the extended edition, you wouldn't be back in time for the next week's podcast.
But I'd be okay with it, because it's
happy.
A good movie.
Well.
Well what? Well water? All right.
Who's going to steer this ship? Zane and I certainly can't.
Yeah, Josh and I cannot handle responsibility.
We suck at everything.
So you
you mean if I'm not back?
You have
to
come back from this thing, yes.
Oh, yeah, and I have to keep my perfect attendance going. 26 straight weeks.
Because you're the only one out of the three of us who can make a phone call.
That's true.
True story. True story, listeners. That's actually
Josh
true.
Josh and I have too much anxiety.
So this week we asked for contributions from the listeners to give us some topics. And we had some good things tossed out.
Yeah.
Peter had suggested that we talk about dark things and why
we
read
dark, depressing,
which I think is something we can get into a little bit later.
Absolutely, and we've talked about like that topic before, not on the show.
Not
but
that,
we've
that,
talked about
yeah, yeah.
using it as a topic.
And we had another suggestion.
We had a bunch of suggestions. Which I don't have all of them with me.
Oh,
here,
books that I don't remember who said it, but books that like started strong, but then like shit the bed at the end.
Books that ruin themselves, that
ruin
like
themselves.
A crappy ending.
That's classier than shit the bed.
and we also had one about aesthetics, of books, like font and layout.
Oh, right, yeah, and like cover design, yeah. Yeah, those were all great suggestions, and we didn't take any of them.
Every suggestion was right on.
Well, we
actually, we did. This was a suggestion.
I mean, we didn't take any of the ones we just mentioned.
Oh, yeah.
But we will.
But we wrote them down, and we will visit them.
But what we did take, what we will talk about, you're going to find out right after this break. Drawn, I listened for the sound of
footsteps in the hall that say home. Welcome back to Cracking the Spine. I'm still Zane.
Oh, I'm next. I'm Josh.
I'm scared of this house.
Oh my god, it's not haunted.
I'm also sweating bullets because it's about 90,000 degrees.
Are
in
you
here.
Really hot?
What does it matter?
What does it matter? Well, I'm stuck here now, so yeah, it doesn't matter.
We're two segments in, so no.
I think it's nice.
It's not hot in here, but that's my opinion, and it's right, so get over it.
I haven't said a thing other than it's super hot and uncomfortable, and I wouldn't have people in my house if it felt like this.
Whoa!
So,
fine. Zane, fine.
I have to give you forewarning. I know you didn't have air conditioning, and I actually planned a bunch of these bits ahead of time. I wasn't expecting it to be a nice day.
It was such a nice day.
I was actually hoping we were still in the middle of the heat wave. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
I was concerned, honestly. I was like, I don't know how we're going to record the podcast with like 8 fans going. But it turned out to be a nice day.
It's been
lucky us.
Well, they sell these things that you can like put in your windows that condition the air.
No, those give me migraines.
Don't know what that is. Okay. What's that? Ice? Like an ice? Does the ice man come bring it?
So Zane, which topic did we end up picking this week to talk about?
We ended up picking a suggestion from Colin Brady at Kesthulu.
Colin.
And he suggested reading Guilty Pleasures.
Ah.
Which is a great suggestion.
It's so good.
Not least of all because we recorded that episode once.
Yeah.
Just you
but
and I,
not
Sean.
With me.
Not with Josh.
So cool.
But that was the lost episode.
It was the episode that my computer ate.
So
good job, Colin.
Yeah, good job. Like and Colin said that his guilty pleasure is he reads these Fallout Equestria books.
What's that?
What is that? Is that like
that's a good question.
Is that the video game Fallout?
It
or?
Does. It looks like books having to do with Fallout or that
okay.
world. Which I want to know in Equestria, how many horses are we talking? Because that sounds super rad.
Are they irradiated horses?
I don't know. We'd
are
have
they,
to ask Colin.
Like, is it like Hot to Trot with Bobcat Goldthwait and Dabney Coleman?
One can hope. One can hope.
Yeah, one would.
Yeah, one would.
You can't have too much Hot to Trot. It's too good. Too much of a good thing.
So guilty pleasures. Like what? I know. I mean, you know, I like to read a lot of different things,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know that I feel guilty about
enjoying
a novel.
Yeah, I thought that too. I was like, well, what do I read? And then I was like, oh, right, I read a lot of stupid shit.
Yeah, right?
Like Star Wars books written in like the 90s when like there was no Star Wars, so people were just like, get more Star Wars
yeah.
out there!
Yeah.
And like, I think Dom, when we used to all work together, Dom would go to the flea market every day,
would.
It seemed like.
He went a lot.
And he brought me a whole box of Star Wars books.
I remember that.
Did you read them?
I read some of them.
Okay.
They are not good, but I'll read them.
Are they canon? Yeah. Are they, like, licensed?
No, there's no canon.
What do you mean there's no canon? I thought, like,
in the books, there's not really... It's not like that. Star Trek books are that way, too. Like, it's all sort of, like, one-offs.
Wait,
like,
seriously?
I was under the impression that, like, a lot of the canon came from the books.
That's what... I honestly thought that, like, all of the Star Wars, like, if it has the word Star Wars in, like, the title or the subtitle, that, like, it has to be, like, cleared with the...
No.
I don't even know, The Office. Because
the guy...
Star Wars Elders.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the guy, I think his name's Ken Anderson, wrote a bunch of them in the 90s. He was the guy who wrote lots of Star Wars books.
That sounds like a fake name.
It could be. It could be a pen name. It's called a pen name when it's on a book. But he would write a lot of the Star Wars books, and I don't think they use any of it. Because in... I'll give you an example. In one of the books, the Twi'leks, the aliens with the tentacles on their head, the two, the hot ones, the strippers, they're all
yeah,
the strippers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
they live on a planet that, in the books, you can only live around where the Terminator is, the horizon is,
because
it's hot and cold on either side. And that's not true in the show. And then, which is canon, and the Clone Wars, they just live on a regular planet.
I find it interesting, though, that you refer to a race that has tentacles growing from their skulls as the hot race.
Yeah.
Not the humans.
They're the hot ones.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, man, the heart wants what it hearts.
The heart wants what it parts.
I don't know if either of those is the expression.
I don't know.
All right.
Twi'lek walks in here right now looking all hot. You're not going to get all hot about it?
I'm already hot. I already said that. There's no air conditioning
boy.
Here.
Oh,
you
boy.
Set that up for me. I'm going to knock it down every time.
So you don't, Sean, you don't think you have any guilty pleasures?
No, I mean, I have stuff that I read that I know is like... I mean, like, it's that old question of, like, high art versus low art,
right.
or
right.
high comedy versus low comedy. Is there a difference? Like, you know,
there
goes
a, cool
a Harley Davidson down the street. You guys heard that. you know, I feel like my parents raised me to believe that, and to their credit, like, there's no such thing as reading a bad book
right.
or the wrong book. Like,
right.
if you're reading, that's what matters. Which
right.
is why I was allowed to read it in fourth grade.
Yeah.
I mean, there's stuff that, like, I think isn't as good as other stuff that I've read. But I certainly... I don't really know that I feel guilty about it. Like,
mm-hmm.
but, like, so a couple of months ago, I had to do a I had to teach a class at a library based on the James Dashner Maze Runner series.
Oh, I saw the movie. Holy crap, what's going on with that?
I haven't seen it yet.
Have you read the book?
I read all three. I read the three of the books.
Oh, my.
There's God. Four. There's a prequel, which came out after.
What?
Yeah, he wrote the prequel after. Well,
okay.
Lucas did the same thing.
Yeah, well. Yeah.
And, like, you know, it's not the best thing I've ever read. It's not the worst thing I've ever read. But, like, I don't feel guilty about it. But
yeah,
I don't read YA. It's not my thing.
Yeah.
If I didn't have to teach it in, like, a curriculum, I probably wouldn't have read it.
I've read it, right.
So, I don't know. Like, it's not a matter of feeling... Like, it's not a guilt...
It's perspective. It's all a matter of perspective.
I guess it's how
yeah.
you define the word guilty.
Right.
Well, I was going to say, I think guilty is what's sort of tripping you up.
Right.
Is that word... Because, I mean, to me, a guilty pleasure is something that, like, I wouldn't want to be caught reading on the train.
I was going to say, it sounds like Sean over here never got made fun of.
Really?
About reading a book.
Is that the impression that you get from me? That I never got made fun of for being a nerd? Dude, I wasn't 5 feet tall until I was a sophomore in high school.
Join the club.
Well, you're not 5 feet
tall
yet.
Yeah,
get up.
For the record, yes, I am.
What are you, like 5'1"?
I'm 5'3".
She's 5 feet tall.
I am 5'3".
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
On this podcast, she is 5'3".
Okay.
On this podcast, I could be 5'8".
That's
That'd
what I'm
great.
Saying. Yeah, you can stick with 5'3".
All right, keep it believable.
5'6". I just wanted to be 5'6". Anyway, books that you're sort of like not ashamed of, books that you want to read, but maybe that you don't want to be caught reading,
I
or like...
Would, yes, I'll give you an example.
Books that are indulgences for
right.
you.
So what are yours, Zane? I mean, I know you're, like...
Mine is mostly...
Vampire Academy?
Oh, yeah.
Vampire Diaries. Vampire Academy is a whole different thing, I think.
Wait, isn't Vampire Diaries a show?
It is a show now, yeah. It was also... They were books.
They make books out of this stuff now?
Yeah, dude.
Damn.
Yeah, man.
Zane just knows about it first because she's short and it gets to her first.
Does it come up out of the ground?
Yeah, it's...
That makes sense. Think about it.
Sure.
Yeah.
My...
I can see why you haven't
my
gotten paid for
your
writing yet.
My guilty pleasures are mostly YA books. And I consider them to be guilty pleasures because they're books that I kind of feel like are, other than the fact that I enjoy them...
Yeah.
are sort of a waste of my time.
Not very well written.
They're not well written.
Yeah.
They're not great stories. There's
yeah.
not great character
development.
You can
see where it's going.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I have fun reading them, and for that, they're obviously, like, they're worthwhile.
Okay.
You know, and I don't mean to say that, like, these books shouldn't
mm-hmm.
be read ever or anything. That's not why I feel guilty, but I feel like my time could probably be better spent, like, improving myself by... reading books that challenge me and like make me smarter or a better person. Well, and, you know, reading The Vampire Diaries did not do that for
me. It's interesting that you should say that because this, you know, we've talked about this on the show before, but Josh is a fan of reading nonfiction.
Yeah.
And, like, I feel like reading a work of nonfiction, like a history book or a biography, is bettering yourself, is, like, educating yourself. And I think, like, I think of reading novels as just, like, it's pastime. Like, with very few exceptions for authors, like, you know, Neal Stephenson or, like, authors who challenge me, most of what I read is very, like...
But I think a lot of times when we read better quality fiction, it's in the hope that it will be enlightening in some way.
Enlightening. Okay. All right. That's a good word for it.
That it will challenge you, will open your mind up, will make you think about whatever, your life or, you know, whatever's going on, and you draw comparisons and parallels. And in that way, it's, even if you're not reading nonfiction, which is like strictly like inserting knowledge,
like factual knowledge,
brain,
yeah.
The idea of a good work of fiction is that it too is sort of,
it does that, right? It absolutely
furthering
does that.
Or improving like your consciousness. And when I read, you know, The Hunger Games.
I was going to say The Hunger Games.
It's not really challenging me. I feel the guilt, I think, comes from like, I should be reading
something better.
Something way smarter than
yeah.
this.
Right.
But, you know, for the same reason that I will happily sit down and watch, you know, any crappy soapy, I sit down and watch Degrassi.
That's the thing.
Because it's an indulgence for me.
Right. Sometimes you want a steak, sometimes you want a hamburger.
Right. So, like, and that's, but I do feel guilt. And the other thing that I consider a guilty pleasure is I have what I consider to be kind of a bad habit. I love to reread books.
I don't.
I love to reread books. I will read a book 3 or 4 times easy. And every time that I reread it, I'm like, this could be time spent reading a
another
new
book. A new book.
That's interesting.
A new book that I have not previously read, and I'm wasting my time, but I love going back. And it's the same with, it's the same with all media, honestly, all entertainment. I will rewatch TV shows endlessly. I will rewatch movies endlessly.
That. I do that.
I listen to music until I don't want to hear it anymore.
I only rewatch bad movies.
Really?
For the most part. Like, I mean, not entirely, but like, you know, like Braveheart, I think, is a great movie. I'll watch Braveheart every time it comes on.
Right.
Schindler's List has actually started to make the rounds again on one of the premium channels. Because it's amazing filmmaking.
It's amazing.
Because it's amazing filmmaking. But...
Man, I gotta be in, like, some kind of mood.
I will also watch any Roland Emmerich movie... When it comes on. Dude, 2012?
Yeah, I know.
That movie is...
You love
that movie.
That movie
could not be worse.
I knew you in 2012, and I remember.
That movie could not be worse. I'm not making...
It's awful.
I'm not making any bones about it. I'm not going to pretend that it's a good movie.
Right.
But if it's on, my God, I'm watching it.
Yeah.
Revenge of the Nerds. That movie, I understand that movie is not good.
Some people think it's the greatest movie of all time.
Some people will probably say that it's maybe the best comedy of the 80s. That's different than the best movie of all time.
I've heard this very same some people say that it's literally the greatest
movie
of all
time.
I don't think you've ever heard that some people say that.
I've maybe heard that person say that it is their favorite movie of all time.
I think that person might have said comedy of the 80s.
I remember him making that distinction. Do you, Josh?
I was there when this person
The Patriot with Mel Gibson. Another terrible movie that some people will watch all the time. I mean, I will watch all the time.
Who directed The Patriot?
Roland Emmerich.
Did he?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
That's what I'm saying.
God,
meanwhile,
I love Roland Emmerich.
I couldn't watch Independence Day. I won't watch Independence Day ever again.
Really?
That movie is bad. That's not good bad.
You'll watch 2012?
Yeah, man. Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah.
You're so weird.
Well, people actually die in 2012.
Oh,
in Independence Day, it's like, if you're going to commit to a disaster movie, commit to your damn disaster movie.
So you do kind of have guilty pleasures, just maybe not for reading. I think...
Fair enough.
I think part of it is that you don't associate any form of guilt with reading. Like, you, Sean, you don't...
No, I don't.
You don't ever feel guilty as long as you're reading.
I don't think I do either, really.
You know what I feel guilty if I get caught reading? A magazine.
Yeah.
Well, like,
I'm reading really that Mad reading. Magazine on the train, yeah, you feel guilty.
Yeah, tipped off. Yeah. I mean, first of all, because Mad Magazine is so terrible anymore.
Oh, yes.
Do you guys remember, when we, like, I, just to take it outside for a second.
Yeah.
Do you remember when we were kids, there was Mad and there was Cracked.
Cracked, yeah.
And Mad had Alfred E. Newman, mm-hmm. and Cracked had
other guy.
Sylvester, I think his name was.
Yeah.
And, like, it was, like, Mad was Nikes, and Cracked was the Ked Bobos that you got at Kmart.
Yeah,
it was,
yeah.
What has happened that in 2015, Cracked has become this, like, source of comedy that, like, generates a million clicks a day, and Mad is awful.
Because Cracked worked at it. I read an article about this.
On Cracked?
Not on Cracked. It was about how...
Was it a list?
It was actual words.
Cracked magazine adapted to change the times. You won't believe what happened next.
It was about how Cracked and like websites like all that like took years to develop sort of this formula where like in that they like figured out how to exploit like our like clicking like how we love like to read that stuff, but also how it was like a genuinely pretty. Funny, like, I mean, for a while there, Cracked was pretty funny.
Hilarious. Like, that's what I mean. Yeah. I'm not knocking Cracked. I'm actually, I'm going the other way and saying, how did Mad not catch up?
They didn't have the...
Mad didn't update.
Yeah, they
because
didn't.
Because, like, occasionally when I flip through a new Mad, I'm like, these are the exact same jokes. They're the exact same comics. Everything is exactly the same as the ones that I was reading in 1993.
Right. Like, their film and TV parody stuff is still pretty good. Like, when they, like, you know... Board of the Rings, or or the Hunger Lames. Like, I'm
damn. Do you write for that?
I'm just riffing here.
You're hired.
True Dick Tech Dumb.
That's the best one. Yeah, keep going.
Cracking the Dumb Podcast. Please, man, parody us. Anyway, no, but like the rest of what Mad does. Is so like I don't know like I
it's lowbrow it's there's no thought.
They're trying so hard and they didn't used to have to try
now
they used to be the only game like the only team on the field.
I think what we find funny anymore has evolved and Mad has not. It's the exact same kind of humor that in 1994 was hilarious, but we don't find it funny anymore. We've moved on.
You also had to go out of your way to get that. You had to go buy Mad Magazine, and now you can just go on Cracked or wherever the hell and be like, I want to see funny stuff, and like you can just have it.
Yeah.
It's just easy. And like when you have to like go out of your way to like go get a magazine, and you're like, hey, what is this analog
paper? That's actually kind of like when I said like I feel like if you catch me with a magazine in my hand, it's kind of like I don't know how to use the internet.
I find that a magazine is a form of passive aggressive frustration. Like if I'm sitting in like a place where I'm waiting and I read a magazine, to me I feel like I'm saying like. I can't fucking believe I have to read this magazine right now. You're making me wait.
I was going to say the only time I ever have to read a magazine is...
Like, doctor.
In a doctor's office. In some sort of waiting room. Yeah.
You know what magazine we seem to sell, or what kind of magazine we sell more of at my shop than I think anything else?
Cracked. Mad. It's Mad. It's Mad.
British royalty magazines.
Oh, man. What's with that? What's with people?
British people is one thing. Like,
first of all, to all of our British fans, you got your ass kicked. Get over it.
Whoa.
My name's Zane. I don't know if I appreciate
I
that kind
British
of
people.
Talk.
I'm talking a tiny at the British same British time. Mom.
Two Zanes, please.
No, I'm the real Zane.
Shoot her.
But like the idea that like an American person
would
buy,
do that.
Like, What's the fascination?
I don't know.
I think it's kind of what we're talking about. I think it's a guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
It's escapism in kind of the worst way.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point.
That's
a very good point.
First one she's made in 26 episodes.
Right?
Man.
I've really
like 26 years.
We should do podcasts in the hot haunted house all the time.
Yay!
It really gets our thinky juices going.
Seriously.
It's because my cat's here. She gives me the confidence to.
It is now 300 degrees in this room, by the way.
No, first of all,
it's like 75 in here. Nothing.
100.
Nothing has ever been as not hot as this place. You want to come over to my house? I swear to God,
yeah, I would love to come to your house.
No, you don't.
Josh doesn't let people
see how he rescinds the invitation.
I've been to his house like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah,
cool.
It's not. It's hot. That was dumb. All right. That was dumb.
Anyway, Zane, what else did I talk about? Because you take really good notes. What did I mention last time that I forgot this time that I'm like guilty about?
I think you said the same stuff. The last time.
Consistency. I'm not Keith Adams.
Tried to say that you didn't feel guilty about anything. I think you just mostly get hung up on that word. But I believe that, like, you really don't feel guilty about reading.
I don't.
Yeah, it's a little...
Is that wrong? Like,
I mean...
No, I just... For me, like, there's a lot of stuff that
What if you were... Like, you said it before, though. What if you were, like, on a train, right? And you whipped out some, like,
Fifty
raunchy
Shades of Grey.
Ass... Not, I mean, I'm talking, like... On the cover, like a dude
let's
licking his own dick.
Because what I feel self-conscious about is stuff that, like, everyone else already knows what it is.
Right.
Just reading that book.
Right.
If you caught me on a train reading 50 Shades of Grey,
mm-hmm.
I would want you to say, like, something's wrong with Sean. Like, why would Sean have picked up 50 Shades of Grey? No, because, like, I don't...
No, but someone who doesn't know you.
But what I'm saying, though, is that I wouldn't... That wouldn't be in... Like, it wouldn't come to me to read that book. Like,
okay, so that would be a guilty pleasure, though, if you...
It wouldn't be a guilty pleasure.
There's no pleasure involved in it.
Yeah, right, it would just
there's
be
something
a
that Sean reads,
right.
Like, for pleasure.
I self-select.
We all self-select.
I'm introduced to so many, like, I have so much opportunity to read. I have opportunity to read everything new that comes out.
Yes, yeah. No, I'm serious. I'm serious. You get first.
That's what I mean. No, like, and I have the ability to borrow books, and like I unpack books when they go on sale. So like, I'm very selective. Of like, I only attempt to pick up things that I'm interested in, and
right.
I only try to like recommend things to people. Like, for example, I had a customer call the store today, to ask. She was like, "I'm looking for a book,"
uh-huh.
And I always have that joke of like, "Oh, well, you've called the right place," or. Or, do you have a book? We've got a lot of them.
Dude, I'm totally calling you like tomorrow.
Pat responsive. I was like, what book are you looking for? And she goes, I'm looking for a book called Ready Player One by a guy named Ernest Cline.
Oh no.
So like, there's a part of me.
Right, you have to be like
the podcast host
right.
wants to say like,
could
I possibly recommend any of the 70,000
right.
books it's stolen from
right.
as an alternative.
Right.
But instead, what I said was, oh yeah, we have that book. I also have autographed first editions of his next book, Armada, mm-hmm. which she ended up wanting that too.
Okay.
So it's this like that I feel guilt. I guess,
that,
okay.
That
okay.
is your
there's
guilt.
My, there's my guilt for reading.
You're like a drug.
Yeah, but that's not a guilty pleasure.
My guilt is
right.
selling people books that they shouldn't be reading.
Right.
That they're that like, I have this interesting like position at the store where like I'm the gatekeeper
yeah.
of information, and I would like to educate people and say like, don't ever read Ernest Cline
right, but
ever.
But how do you do that when you're
but,
trying
yeah,
to
no,
sell
no,
to them?
No,
right?
I gotta sell you. If you want
right.
Ernest Cline, I'm gonna sell you Ernest Cline,
right.
and then
Take
I'm gonna try
80
to,
of them.
And then I'm gonna try to oversell you on his new
right.
book too,
right.
which I did. So, if anything, like, then I feel guilty because, like, I'm betraying my...
Principles.
My own... Well, it's not even principles. Yeah, no, I guess it is. I mean, it's,
well,
it's more like
my own
aesthetic.
Right,
yeah,
yeah.
Taste.
Yeah.
But, like, my
you
principle...
You gotta swallow that pill.
My
that
principle is
pill.
I gotta sell books. Like,
right.
I gotta move merchandise.
Right. Yeah, man. Yeah, I mean, that's okay. But that's, like, respectable. I mean, like... I think anyone can understand that.
So what we've learned in this episode is Sean has no guilty pleasures.
Zane has no air conditioning. And Josh doesn't read.
I'm just happy to be here.
And I think on that note, let's take a little break. And we're going to be right back. Welcome back, segment 3, episode 26 of Cracking the Spine. Sean.
Zane. Two Zanes.
No.
Josh.
There it is.
We
had two Zanes in the last segment.
We did.
We shot the other one.
We did that joke already.
Yeah. It's we're not about repeating back. Jokes here. Just show topics. So what do you guys feel guilty about? What makes you...
So many things.
Blush. No, not you guys.
Oh, I thought we were doing therapy.
No, I'm talking to the
audience.
I'm tossing it out to the audience.
You're right.
What are the people out there?
Yeah, right.
Millions of listeners that we have. What do you guys? What makes you blush if you're reading it, or if you get caught reading it?
What's a guilty pleasure? What's your indulgence when it comes to literature?
Or are you like me, where you just like Eminem,
unashamed,
two fingers in the air,
the nudist,
fuck
of
your
book
free
reading.
World.
Also, you read books nude.
Exactly. Zane seems to think that on her bookshelf here, she found a book that may make me feel a little weird.
I think you'd be a little embarrassed to be reading this. You'd either lean into it 100% or you'd be a little embarrassed to read it on the train.
Well, that's going to be our dramatic reading this week, which, fingers crossed, I won't lose. And I apologize for last week. Zane actually gave a great reading of...
what did we read?
It was the Dragon Riders of Pern? No, it wasn't Dragon Riders.
It was the Master Harper of Pern.
Master Harper of Pern.
And McCaffrey.
Yeah. A book about a bard.
It was intense.
It was a pretty dramatic reading. Zane gave it her all. She was really committed.
But now you'll never know.
And I lost it.
You'll have to pick it up yourself and read it in my tiny mouse British voice.
Or, oh, I know what my guilty pleasure is. The Masturbator of Pern.
Different book.
Or whatever.
That's a different series.
Oh.
Anyway. So you stick around for the dramatic reading. It's going to be hopefully embarrassing. Isn't that the idea at this point?
Sure.
They're all pretty embarrassing.
Yeah.
It'll be secondhand embarrassing for our listeners.
Honestly,
sure.
You know what? I'm going to toss that out. I feel a little weird when I read anything out loud.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Like, not just, like public speaking I'm fine with, but if I'm reading, like a right. novel out loud to someone who hasn't read it.
Right.
Yeah, there's some of that.
Yeah. All right.
So stick around for that. You'll finally get to feel some of Sean's secondhand embarrassment. So, from the hottest place in the world.
Nope.
Hell. Which we all live in our own.
Oh boy.
We make our own hell.
Good night, folks.
Hell is other people on podcasts.
We'll talk next week.
Special dramatic reading of an all-new original novel based on the smash hit TV series Quantum Leap, The Wall, a novel by Ashley McConnell based on the Universal Television series Quantum Leap, created by Donald P. Belisario.
Page 4. Don't you talk back to me! The shriek was saying. Damn you! Don't you talk back to me!
Oh, my D word.
He opened his mouth to say, but I'm not! Then thought better of it. It wasn't in his best interest to argue with a giant. The hand before him dropped suddenly, and the shriek was replaced by a sob. The giant fell down before him on her knees, and when the hand was lifted again, it was to brush clumsily at his brow. Missy. Missy, honey, I'm sorry. Mommy's sorry. Don't cry, honey. Mommy didn't mean it. Don't cry! Mommy? Missy? He glanced down at himself, as much to get away from the alcoholic fumes as to check and see who he was this time.
I knew he leaped!
He leapt!
Oh, nuts, he whispered, He was wearing a dress again.
Oh, no.
What's worse than being a female? Nothing.
The stroking hand paused. Nuts? Nuts? The hand pulled back and descended again in a lightning quick slap at too short a range to have much power behind it, but strong enough to rock him back again. You get to your room! The woman heaved herself to her feet, staggering, and extended one unsteady hand to point the way. You get in there right now, you hear me? And you don't come out again until I tell you! He was tempted to crawl, to stay beneath and out of range of that threatening hand, but something wouldn't let him. And besides, he could move faster when he was on his feet, and he knew what to expect.
He has quantum leap powers.
He scurried down the hall and ducked behind the indicated door, closing it behind himself with a sigh of relief. His face was beginning to hurt, and he was certain that he had a bruise on the back of his head where he hit the wall. He couldn't feel any other injuries. From the other side of the door, he could hear weeping.
Don't stop!
Who is weeping?
You'll have to wait
until next week. The name of the book is The Wall.
When we don't read this book again.
And that has been another very special dramatic reading.
And I am blushing.